Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is The Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome once again to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. Hope you had a fantastic week, that you learned a little bit last week from my Diabetes and Valentine's session that we had. And this week we are going to be looking at some other interesting stuff, particularly if you have got type 1, although I would encourage you to listen in anyway, because actually what we're going to be talking about can help people with type 2. And actually, I'm a little bit of an example of how it can help, actually. So I'm going to kick off with a little bit of what's in the news. But then later on, we're going to be talking to one of my daughters, Jasmine, the one who has got type 1 diabetes. And it's a previous interview where she was talking about her experience with Freestyle Libre, which is the Abbott's continuous glucose monitor. And I've been experimenting with that myself recently, whilst I've been doing my diet, looking at how my levels have gone. And I'm very pleased to say that according to the Freestyle Libre app, my estimated HbA1c is back just inside the normal level. So really excited about that. And it's been the fact that I've been able to keep an eye on things, testing and measuring what I've been doing, and seeing how things are going. That is why I believe I've been able to do this, because it's one thing just, you know, trying to be good. It's another thing actually holding yourself accountable and having something, some way of measuring how good you're being. Anyway, let's get into a little bit of what is in the news. And we're going to kick off actually with a different source this time, because I found a particular article which I thought I wanted to share with you. And this one is from a source called digitalhealth.net, and it's about a partnership that has been announced between Fitbit and Diabetes UK. And this partnership aims to educate on the importance of leading a healthier and more active lifestyle. So I think that's going to be really helpful, actually, with some of the things that they're going to be able to collaborate on together. And one of those collaborations is going to be the 1 million step challenge that takes place in July. I don't know if you have done it, whether you did it last time, but it was an incredible event, and this year it looks like it's going to be even bigger and better, and hopefully we'll be able to get out into more places and do the steps. But if you can take at least 10,000 steps a day for 3 months, you'll reach your 1 million. And you can do that walking, jogging, dancing, whatever you want to do, but just get those steps in. And of course, the Fitbit can measure that, as can other things such as your phone and other things as well. And again, I think it highlights the importance, again, of testing and measuring. And we are so lucky to live in an age where we've got so much technology, where we can test what we're doing and how it affects our blood sugars, and measure any improvements, any success that we're having, as well as being alerted to any hiccups that we might be having, any bad days that we might be having, or bad weeks that we might have, or even, you know, bad periods of time on holiday. We can see how it affects us. So I'll be keeping my eye on that website, digitalhealth.net, for future articles that we might come across. Now, let's go back to our usual source, which is probably the most common one, which is the diabetes.co.uk. And if you were listening last week, you'd have heard me mention about the fact that a doctor is, or doctors are, urging people with COVID-19 to consider buying a home oxygen measuring device. Because if your oxygen levels go down particularly low, then you might well, if you've got this COVID thing, you might well need to get some more professional medical help, possibly hospital, if your levels have gone too low. I would point just to that one, that there was a chap who who shared, a guy called Chris Harris. He's one of the first people to take part in a new scheme. And last November, he's 70 years old. He was being treated for a urinary infection, but then he also got COVID-19. And he says, "I don't mind admitting, I was in tears. It was very stressful and frightening time. My breathing started to get a bit laboured. I had a high temperature as the days went on, and my oxygen levels were progressively getting lower until they were actually as low as in the 80s, and they should be up in the upper 90s. So his levels were in the 80s. He continued to monitor his oxygen levels at home and eventually realised he needed hospital treatment. He said, "I may have gone to hospital as the very last resort, and that's the frightening thing. It was the oxygen meter that forced me to go when I did, and I could have just sat thinking about it, thinking that I would recover. I'm an extremely lucky and very, very grateful." I know I shared that one last time, but I just wanted to share it again because I thought it was one worth picking up on. Okay, let's look at some of the other ones. Negative psychological health can increase heart disease risk. There's quite a lot of stuff going on during this COVID thing, isn't there, about mental health, psychological health. The next one, in fact, as well, is talking about the pandemic causing high levels of drinking among those with mental health issues. These are both articles I found on diabetes.co.uk's website. Go and have a look at those if you want to hear more about that and ways maybe that you can address it. Older adults who nap could be improving their cognitive health. Well, I'm becoming an older adult. I'm not sure what they're actually classifying it in here. Let's have a look at what they've got to say. "Oh, I'm feeling better now. This research is done for over 60s who nap." I'm not 60 yet, I feel better. Anyway, over 60s who nap could be improving their cognitive health and making them mentally sharper, researchers have said. The research team, led by Dr. Lin Sun of the Alzheimer's Disease and Related Disorders Center at Shanghai Mental Health Center and Shanghai Jiaotong University, I haven't got a clue if I pronounced that correctly, say those who rested their eyes for about 10 and 30 minutes a day performed better in cognitive tests when compared to those who stayed awake throughout the day. The study involved about 2,000 people, and 1,534 took regular afternoon naps, while 680 did not. And the study found that the nappers scored significantly higher on all of the tests, which included attention span, problem solving, when they compared it to those that did not rest. So there you are, having that nap, having that siesta, putting your feet up and relaxing, shutting your eyes for 10 to 30 minutes can really make a difference to your cognitive health. Now, the next one may be of interest. It's a study which indicates that a vegan diet impacts metabolism in children. And you know, quite a lot of people with diabetes do decide to go on a vegan diet and for one reason or another. Yeah, it might just be something to look into and consider if you're making your kids live a vegan lifestyle as well, then is it affecting them? Next one, Europe's oldest person survives COVID-19. This is a sweet story, isn't it? Hey, how good is that? 117 she is, and she got COVID-19 just before she turned 117. Her name's Lucille Randon. She's a French nun, and she tested positive for the condition on January the 16th. But she didn't go on to develop any symptoms. That was certainly a good 117th birthday present to not get those symptoms. Local news reporter said that she showed no fear of the disease. On the other hand, she was very concerned about the other residents at the home she was living in. There's a lot of people walking around, going into supermarkets and whatever, without masks, who could learn a lesson or two from her there. Another article states that older generation are dealing better with the pandemic than the young. I'm going to leave you to look into that one because I know we are getting a bit short on time. And the last one I want to just mention is daily avocado consumption promotes good gut health. Let's have a quick look at that one. Most people know that it is deemed to be a good fat, but a team from the University of Illinois wanted to investigate exactly how the fats and fiber contained in the ingredient impacts the gut microbiota. The findings of their study suggested that people who ate avocado every day had greater amounts of microbes in their gut, which are integral to breaking down fiber and producing metabolites that support gut health. And the research team also found that although those in the avocado group consumed more calories, there were greater amounts of fat excreted in their stool. And Dr. Holscher, one of the researchers, said greater fat excretion means the research participants were absorbing less energy from the foods that they were eating. So let's all go out and get our avocados as part of our dinner tonight and try and make it a daily habit, maybe. And that is pretty much all the items I could find in the news this week. Those last ones were all from diabetes.co.uk's website. Such a valuable source of information. So do check it out at some point. And they have a fantastic forum as well. And if you haven't looked into the low carb diet that they sort of arrange that they do, then look into that as well. Hope you found those interesting. If you want to know more, then go to those sites and you'll be able to read in more detail. I only scratched the surface with them, really. We're going to play a song now before I get Jasmine onto the show. And I hope appropriately, we're going to listen to a song which was sung by Jasmine in the Aladdin film. It's by Naomi Scott and it's called Speechless, which my daughter certainly isn't. Hope you enjoy it.
Here comes a wave meant to wash me away, a tide that is taking me under, swallowing sand but nothing to say, my voice drowned out in the thunder. But I won't cry and I won't start to crumble whenever they try to shut me.
Cause I breathe when they try to stop.
That was Naomi Scott, and the song was called Speechless. And the reason I played that was because I believe that it was sung by Jasmine in the movie Aladdin. And of course, my interviewee today, as way of introduction, her name is Jasmine, and she is my daughter. She also happens to have type 1 diabetes, and I think that she can gain a lot from doing this, and also that you will be able to learn some things as well about control of type 1 diabetes. So without any further ado, and it's going to be a bit of a novel approach, this particular show, without further ado, let me bring my daughter, Jasmine Alton, onto the show. Right, so today's a bit of an experiment, really. It could go horribly wrong, in which case you will never get to hear this. On the other hand, it might go fantastically well, and you might really enjoy it, and you might get to hear more sessions like this. I'm actually recording this whilst seeing one of my patients. This patient, though, actually is my daughter, so I have her total consent to use this. I don't think she'd consent me to video me doing this, but we're going to be treating a problem that she gets with her feet, and I'll just be talking a little bit through that. But also, whilst we're doing it, we'll be talking to her about about the Freestyle Libre, which she's been started using recently. A little bit, just quiz her a little bit on how that's going. And I thought we'd try this just as a deal. I get to do, or she gets her feet done, and I get to interview her about the Freestyle Libre. So, Jazz, just tell the listeners what problem it is that you get recurring with your feet.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm going to start working whilst you're doing it.
That's okay? Fine.
The listeners might hear the odd clip of nails, as it were.
So, hi, everybody. I'm Jasmine, and I'm Peter's daughter. So, the problem that I get with my toenails, I've been having for many years now. I get it on both my two big toenails, and what happens is basically the corners of both nails and both feet grow into my skin, so I get like an ingrown toenail, and it often gets infected and hard skin builds up around it, and it can get very uncomfortable and painful. So yeah, so luckily I'm blessed with a dad who is a podiatrist, so he's able to help me with this. But yeah, this is a reoccurring problem that I have. I think part of it is due to the fact that I don't always wear my insoles as I should, and also down to the footwear that I do wear occasionally.
You're only saying that about because I've got sharp instruments at your feet. Otherwise, you would just tell me I'm talking a load of rubbish.
But yeah, so that's a problem I get with my toenails. It's only on my two big toes. But yeah.
Well, there is another one here that's looking a bit suspect.
No. Seriously?
The edge of that one's got some hard skin down the side of the nail. So yeah, Jazz has got what we call involuted big toenails. It's a very common problem, the toenail curl. So if you look at the toe end on, which most of us don't really get to see that view of our toes, but you'll see if you do get to see it, or if you get someone to take a photo of it, if it's involuted, it curls, it sort of goes in at the edges. And that's one form of ingrown nail. And what Jazz gets is she gets lots of hard skin developing where the hard bit of nail is pressing into the flesh there. And sometimes, as she mentioned, sometimes it could get infected, particularly if she wears something that's a little bit too inappropriate. And then from time to time, we are clearing out the dead skin that's there, and we use a little blade and we use a little file. Try not to hurt her if we can help it, although that's debatable. But the plan is eventually at some point to do some elective surgery on it. So quite often we will treat ingrown toenails by taking a portion of the nail away and then killing the root of the nail so that bit never grows again. And that should then prevent the problem. The problem, of course, is that with her type 1 diabetes, which we haven't actually discussed, but I'm assuming that some of you listeners will have heard me talking with Jazz on this show before, she has got type 1 diabetes. And the problem is that infections are not good for somebody with diabetes, particularly on their feet. Ingrown toenails are more prone to infection, as she mentioned, and therefore it is a bit of a
not a good thing to have long term. So therefore, we will quite often try to prevent it from happening again by doing this minor surgery on it. That's not what I'm doing today. And the reason I'm not doing it today, Jazz will explain to you, is partly because we're doing this at home, not in a truly clinical environment. But also, Jazz, why is it that I have been reluctant to do it for you in recent years, shall we say?
Because my HbA1c has been quite high, which means that my chances of infection and things is higher than the usual diabetic whose HbA1c is lower in a safe zone.
Okay. So, yeah, listeners, you hear me banging on about the diabetes sweet spot quite often. And it's, from the point of view of the feet, it is partly trying to make sure that things like these ingrown toenails aren't going to occur. So for Jazz long term, getting into a diabetes sweet spot will mean having that op and making sure that this thing doesn't happen again. That should stop her from that risk in her feet later on in life. She knows she should do it. She knows the risk she's at. But we've got to take the action. And part of the action is me doing the op. But part of the action is her going to be trying to control her HbA1c better in the months prior to us doing the op. Because the last thing we want is to do the op and then for her not to heal up appropriately or to get a bad infection. Because that's the thing. Infection can get in a lot easier. And also the healing rate is a lot slower as well. So that is what we are waiting for. And we're hopeful that, I know she's made some lifestyle changes recently. And also you've got a bit of kit recently, which is, I think, going to be helpful in achieving that. Do you want to tell the listeners a bit about that, Jazz?
Yep. So I've recently, so about the second week of January, was put onto the Freestyle Libre. Ooh, so excited. I was really excited about going onto the Libre.
Is that is that the right way of pronouncing it?
I don't know. That's just how I pronounce it.
No, I just call it Libre, but I don't know what's right. But
yeah, so I actually had a trial test run with it back in 2016, but that's when it wasn't funded by the NHS. But I've managed to now have it funded by the NHS. So I've been on that for just about a month now.
Sorry, is that causing a bit painful? Yeah, I'm sorry.
So basically, it's this little like sensor type thing in the back of my arm, and it's very, very easy to insert. The instructions are very clear and it doesn't actually hurt. And it's connected to an app on my phone, which I can use to scan my arm and it tells me my sugar levels. It's so cool. So yeah, and that will stay in my arm for 14 days and then I'll replace it with another one. And so far, I mean, at the start I had a few problems with the adhesive on the sensor, I suppose, on the Libre, when it was nearly coming out, but now it's in. I think that I've managed to find a position where it doesn't rub on my body and doesn't
Catch the door frames.
Yeah,
you did the other day.
Yeah, because at the first one that I put in, it was okay, but I think it was positioned in a way where it just kept rubbing on my body, and so it was catching on my skin, coming off a little bit. And the second one ripped out completely as I walked through a door, and it got caught on the door.
I put it in, didn't I?
Yeah. You had put that one in, actually, yeah. And it had just ripped out of me completely. But the one that I have in now, I think I spoke to my nurse at the hospital, and we agreed that it was a good place to put it, and I haven't had any problems with it so far. So,
for those listeners that don't know, just tell them what it does.
So what it does is basically like a continuous glucose monitor. So like I said, it can store up to 8 hours worth of data, and you scan it with your phone, or if you don't want to use your phone, they can give you like a little machine thing, like a blood tester machine, but you obviously don't put any test strips in it. And it creates a graph and collects the data of your sugar levels throughout the day. So I find it really useful because also what it does, quickly before I go into the graphs, is that it will also tell you, it is 10 minutes behind, So that they always say to you, like, if it says to you that you're like 6.5, but you feel like you're having a hypo, just to check with your other blood test, or just like, don't ignore your symptoms because it is 10 minutes delayed. But what it will tell you on the display is these arrows, and it tells you whether you're going, your sugar levels are rising rapidly, if they're rising gradually, if they're stable, if they're going down gradually, or if they're going down rapidly, which is really useful. So you have like an idea on where it's heading, so you know how to react to your levels and your sugars and stuff. So I find that really helpful. I also find it helpful because at the end of the, well, not at the end of the day, but in general, it gives you graphs. So like, for example, I often look at my the past 24 hours graph of the patterns of my sugar levels and what they've been doing. But it also gives you like daily averages, and over time it will build up like an estimate of what your HbA1c is going to be like. So yeah, it's really useful. There's like so much data. There's even stuff that I haven't even discovered that I know is there, just haven't really looked into it in the app. But so many different types of graphs, like when you're more likely to go up, more likely to go down, what percentage of time you're in your target sugar level zone. So for example, there's, I mean, my sugar levels are quite high, which is really bad. But it will tell me like that maybe today I've been in my target zone for 15% of the time, for example. So yeah, I find it really fun.
What were you going to say, 15 minutes for a minute?
Oh, no, 15% of the time. But yeah, I find it really fun. Like, it makes me want to check my levels, and I don't know, I still can't believe that I can just use my phone to scan my arm and it tells my sugar levels. Enjoy it.
That's the key benefit, I suppose, is you don't, apart from giving you all that information, you're not having to pinprick yourself all the time.
It's just so much more easier, and it's not as obvious. I mean, I'm not ashamed of my diabetes, but sometimes like I just can't be bothered to prick my finger, and then someone's in the room and they'll be asking me questions. Like if I'm at work, for example, I don't really want to go through the whole conversation because it just leads to question after question after question. So it's just so discreet and easy to do. Like, I always have my phone on me. So I can never forget to check my levels because I have my phone with me all the time, which I never forget.
Yep.
So yeah, and I've found that since being on the Libre, I feel like I've like tripled the amount of times that I check my sugar levels in a day. And I really enjoy going back and looking over the data and stuff. So yeah, I feel like in the long run, this is really going to benefit me.
So that's a good thing. You're testing it more often, so you get a reading at that point in time.
Yeah.
But you've also got the benefit that as long as you download it every 8 hours, you've got a picture of what your blood sugar is doing all the way through the day.
Yeah. Even like, for example, at night time, it comes in useful. Now, there are days when I like to lie in, so I will miss a couple hours of data because I will sleep for more than 8 hours. But if I don't, like if I wake up in the middle of the night, I will quickly scan it so that I get the full image. But it will, when you wake up in the morning and you scan it, you get a graph of what your sugar levels have been doing whilst you're sleeping when you're unaware. Like it'll show you if you've dropped low or when you've gone high. And it's really interesting that you wouldn't think that your sugar levels will do so much when you're sleeping, if that makes any sense. Like when you're not eating, you're not really doing anything, you're just sleeping, but they do. And I mean, for someone like me who's on a pump, that will gradually, like, over time, it will make life maybe easier when it comes to figuring out my basal dosages and ratings there, if that makes sense.
For those people that aren't on pumps, do you want to just explain what that means?
Oh, so
some people won't actually have pumps.
So, yes, I'm an insulin pump.
Jazz, but I'm just going to be clearing out some of the dead skin from down the side of the snail, okay?
Oh, that's fine.
Maybe a bit uncomfortable, but I'll try to be as gentle as I can.
That's fine. So, yeah, so basically on the insulin pump, you have, you use one type of insulin. So I'm on NovoRapid. And as you, most of you diabetics probably know, that's a fast-acting insulin. So obviously, your bolus is what you would do like before you eat a meal or you have something with sugar and carbs in it. And then your basal would be your background insulin. So when I'm not on a pump. I have two types of injections. I have my nighttime one, which works over 24 hours, which I used to use Lantus Solo Star. And then I have my fast-acting insulin, rapid-acting insulin, which was my NovoRapid. So on the pump, because you've only got one type of insulin, what it does is throughout the day, it's constantly putting in little bits of insulin which act as your basal, your background insulin. So in my case, that the little bits that are going into me throughout the day are replacing the Lantus that I would use, if that makes any sense. I feel like I'm making it more complicated than it is.
No, I think you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
So it's fast acting. It's all fast acting.
In the pump, yeah.
Big lumps in when you're eating something.
Yeah, and little bits.
It's trickling in little bits.
Throughout the day.
Still fast acting. Yeah. Whereas with the injections, it's a slow acting dose, the Lantus one is.
But the good thing with the pump is that I'm on the Medtronic pump. The good thing about it is that, and I don't know if this is just with my pump or all pumps, probably all, I don't know. You can change that. For example, you can say you want your background dosage to be, I don't know, like 0.6 units per hour between midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning. And then from 3 o'clock in the morning, you want to 9 o'clock in the morning, you want it to be at this rate. So you can change it throughout the night. So as I'm using the Libre and I'm noticing the patterns and what my sugar levels do when I'm sleeping, I can then alter my dosages in the night on my insulin pump to fix those. Cool. Yeah,
that's cool. Brilliant.
It is. Okay. Oh, I'm so fascinated by it.
Have you tried? You've had it for 2-3 weeks now. So I'm sure. I hope you've had showers and baths. You haven't tried swimming with it yet, though.
No. But I mean, I have no problems in the shower.
Mm.
It doesn't, even when I'm getting changed, I don't really have a problem. I mean, apart from if I'm walking through a door, that's when I tend to have problems.
All right.
But no, I haven't had any problems. I plan to go swimming soon. So hopefully then I can tell you how I found that.
Do you want to share the bit of advice that I gave you, which I don't think you actually bothered to take, about keeping a record of what you're eating when, so you can then, when you go back and look at your 8-hour graph, you can say, oh yes, actually at that time, that's when I had that, whatever it was, or that's when I did my walk on the run on the treadmill or whatever.
So I can understand
why I told you
why that would be useful. However, I haven't actually put it into practice yet. Hopefully.
And can we make a commitment in front of 20,000-30,000 listeners?
Well, hopefully I will.
Hopefully I will. That's no commitment.
I'm just a bit, I don't know, I'm just Jasmine. But what's actually useful as well about the Freestyle Libre is that on the app that I have on my phone for it, you can actually put in notes every time you, well, not just every time you scan it, but in general. So when I check my levels, I can put in notes. So there really isn't an excuse as to why I'm not writing down what I'm eating and stuff at the time, because...
That's it. You tell them.
Because all it takes is a few more taps of the finger and then it's done. But yeah, it's like, let me even see if I can go onto the app now and see. Just a moment.
This is true interactive radio here.
So, if I check my levels now. Mm. Oh, I will share them with you. My levels are 5.1. So I will share that with you. I am in my target zone. And, oh, that's funny. Today I have been in my target zone for 15%. And my average for the last 24 hours has been, my sugar levels have been at 12.0 mmol. Ooh. Hey.
It's a bit high.
That's quite good for me, actually.
Okay.
So for example, I could now press, if I go to my logbook, go to my previous tests and press add note, and now I can put in food or exercise or just any comment that I want to put in. And for those of you who aren't on the pump, it's also good because I've just seen that it says here there's an option to write a note if you're putting in rapid acting insulin or long acting insulin. So I don't think it's just beneficial for people who are on a pump. I think it's beneficial in general. because you can even put in how many units of your nighttime bolus you've put basal you've put in and stuff. So
well, it would even be beneficial for people with type 2 trying to get better control as well. How your body, it just tells you what your blood sugars are level are like in reaction to whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted to even
see. It's so cool. It literally will. It says my. I'm not going to share my.
Can you just swap it over?
Oh yeah, sorry.
The other one, yeah.
It tells you your my estimated HbA1c, which I will not share today.
I'm just going to spray this with some.
That's fine.
Antiseptic. It's a bit cold.
But yeah, so there's like you have daily graphs. So it says your daily patterns, time in target, low glucose events, average glucose. There's a lot. And you can set reminders as well. So I have reminders on my phone. So if I go to my reminders, when are they? So at 10:30 in the morning, I have a reminder. At 2:20, 6:30 in the evening, 9:30 in the evening, and 11:30 at night are my reminders for me to check my my levels, just so that I know that I'm always like, what's it called, within the thing. And then I often, like I said, I wake up pretty much every night to go to the toilet in the middle of the night. So when I wake up, I'll quickly scan my Libre so that I don't miss out on any data. Which occasionally I do if I sleep for long or I don't wake up to go to the toilet. But I find it very useful. I love the Libre.
Good. I don't love your toes right now.
Pretty I'm sorry.
Awkward. So, I'm just clearing this dead skin out from the side of your toe where that nail is digging in. And part of the problem is I think some of the shoes you're wearing are not necessarily appropriate.
I blame it on work.
if we can get the HbA1c down to a good average, I think we should consider doing what we call partial nail avulsion. Have I explained to you what we're doing that?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you cut down the sides of the nails and then you, I don't want to use the word because it might seem aggressive, but destroy.
Yeah, that's a good word.
The roots underneath the I don't know what it's called, underneath the part of my toe where the nail goes.
So yeah, the back of the nail. The back of the nail, where the nail.
The nail roots are.
Yeah, at the very back of the nail, it's called the proximal nail fold. And underneath there, the nail continues underneath the flesh.
Mm.
So we would cut vertically down the nail and then take that side away, and then we put a chemical down which kills the root, as you call it. Yeah.
Mm.
And that bit then shouldn't grow back. Should have a narrower nail.
Yeah. Will my nail look weird?
It'll look slightly different, but generally speaking, not too bad. Some people we get have really bad problems, have really left it, and it's got what's called hypergranulation tissue, big globs of flesh. There's actually a program on TV recently called Tobro. He has some quite interesting ingrown toenail patients on there. Any listeners want to watch that? Tobro. Anyway, so we're coming to the end of doing this here. Sometimes I put some packs down the side of the nails. There's not that much room there at the moment, so I think we will leave this as it is. I haven't cut you, so I don't think we need any dressings on, because none of them were infected today. There were just lots of build-up of hard skin down the side there. Yeah, we'll do this again maybe in another month or so. See how you get on. Have you, just going back to your Freestyle Libre whilst I just finish off here, have you identified anything that does trigger your blood sugars to go really high from using it at all?
Or really low for that matter? In the night time, I have a few peaks where I go a bit higher. So at around 4 o'clock in the morning, I tend to go a bit high. Don't know why. but also, now this is partially my fault, is sometimes I forget to put in my insulin, or I put in my insulin as I'm eating, Now, I don't know if it's how my body reacts to the insulin or what, but it doesn't, it often results in my sugar levels going really high and then coming back down gradually. So I've spoken to my nurse. What we've decided to do is for the next couple of weeks before I see her again is for me to try and put my insulin in 10 minutes or so before I eat to try and bring these peaks down. I feel like before I didn't really, I would have been having these peaks, but I wouldn't have necessarily noticed them, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, if you don't feel it, there's no way of knowing it other than...
I mean, sometimes I feel it, but I generally feel tired when I finish eating. I think that's just how our bodies react to food. So I wouldn't... You understand? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense, yeah. Well, it's good that the nurse is seeing you regularly anyway, which is really good. Let's get this HbA1c down and get these toenails sorted.
Yep.
Well, thanks so much for your time today. And hopefully your feet will feel more comfortable. And hopefully it's helped you listeners. When I go back and listen to this, if you find it on a radio show, you know that I've passed it. And hopefully it will be helpful to you, both knowing about looking after your feet and getting ingrowing toenails and involuted toenails sorted. And particularly if there are recurrent problems for you, to get them sorted at a stage in life where it's easier to deal with things, because the older you get, particularly the longer you've had diabetes, the more chance there is of there being other complications that could prevent us from doing the minor op that would solve it. So in this case, prevention is better than cure if we can sort it out. And hopefully you've learned a bit about the Freestyle Libre as well. And if you are living in the UK, then speak, and you've got type 1 particularly, speak to your GP, or your nurse, see if you are eligible to get it on the NHS, as Jazz has now, which is fantastic. Okay, well, thank you very much, Jazz. Nothing else you want to add?
No.
No, you just want to get back on your phone with your friends, don't you?
Because
I had put on silent during this.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
That's okay. We will have you again sometime.
Yep. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
So that was Jasmine, my daughter, just sharing her thoughts on Freestyle Libre, which she's been using for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Just get her early thoughts on it, and no doubt we will revisit that with her when she's had a bit longer to experience it. And hopefully she'll be back to report that her HbA1c is way, way better because of the help that Freestyle Libre gives her. Also, speaking to her there, of course, I was in the background treating her with some podiatry treatment for some ingrown toenail problems that she gets recurrently. And we are waiting to do nail surgery on her, as you may have heard us talking there. But anyway, the Freestyle Libre was the key topic of the day. I hope it's helped you to understand a little bit more about what it can do for people, particularly if they're on insulin and with type 1 diabetes. But as I mentioned in the interview, even people with type 2, if they get hold of it, if they self-fund it, it gives you a fantastic picture of what's going on in your life and how the things that you eat affect your blood sugar, and how maybe your blood sugar has been affected overnight after a particular meal, or maybe after a particular exercise or during exercise. And it gives you a really good picture of how your lifestyle is affecting your diabetes, your blood sugars, and therefore your likelihood of developing complications. Now, some of you might realize that was recorded some time ago, actually about a year ago. So the situation since then has been that Jazz continues to use the Freestyle Libre, and it has helped her tremendously. And also because of that, the end of the first lockdown, we were able to do the nail surgery that we referred to during that interview. And she has successfully had that nail surgery done to 4 sides. So the 2 sides of each big toe, and since then has not had any reoccurrences of infection. And also it looks nice as well. She's happy with how it looks. So that's really good. Also, another thing to add is that I've been experimenting with the Freestyle Libre recently myself as well. And similar to Jazz, I've found it extremely useful to have that continuous glucose monitoring going on in the background, to get it on my phone to see how things change when I do certain activities. I really can't recommend looking into getting that, whether you've got type 1 or type 2, it really can be helpful. So I hope this has been useful, and we will probably get Jazz back on again at some point to talk about her nail surgery experiences again, and also how she is getting on with that Freestyle Libre and with her blood sugar levels. So the whole point of it is that it's trying to help you to free up from having to give yourself pinpricks all the time to take blood samples, to get your glucose readings, and it frees you up from that. So we're going to play a song which just will remind us of what it does, and that is Queen and I Want to Break Free. So please enjoy it as Freddie Mercury sings I Want to Break Free. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.